Tom Gazzola. And Tom Oilers back on the ice today, practicing. Looks like Mike Smith, based on practice, he was in the starters net again. So I would think he's going to go against his former team on Saturday afternoon, which I understand. But you know, Dave Tippett, you know, he was joking and he didn't know what day it was because, you know, they're not playing every second day and they've had more practice time. But he just, you know, I watched their practice today. Even Nugent Hopkins brought it up afterwards. There's a different intensity in their practices, and I think that's allowed them to have more success on game night.
Yeah, and the value of practice. I remember a few years ago, Greg, I can't remember if it was Ralph Kruger or Tom Rennie talking about how much it hurts when teams can't practice and travel gets involved, and teams in the Western Conference are actually at a disadvantage. And to me, like as a younger guy reporter, I was like, that's ridiculous. But it has a massive effect, strategy-wise, just sharpness. And now that the Oilers have this ability and these days between games to actually work on some concepts, maybe iron out some of the bad habits that maybe crept into their game in December when they were playing every other night, it's important to do that. And in terms of intensity, if you're cranking it up right now, that's probably a good thing because we're in the throes of a playoff race, obviously. And the fact of the matter is that as the months go on in an NHL season, so too does the level of play improve. And it only gets better and faster. And it'll obviously reach a boiling point come playoff time and in March and April. So if they're practicing with precision and a little hop in their step, that's a good thing. And I completely understand the reasoning why coaches emphasize practice nowadays.
Well, it's a really funky schedule the Oilers have. You know, you look at, you know, as you mentioned, in December, they were playing doubleheaders, it seemed like, some days. And yeah. Now they have one game between now and the 29th of January, and a lot of time off in there. So I think this time is really crucial for them to get them, you know, just get on the same page. They get the 2 points on Saturday. That's a must in my book. And, you know, it's not a must-win game, but just banking those points is the must, because then they have, you know, it'll have, I'm guessing, when do they probably practice again? The 26th or the 27th, somewhere in there?
They practice on Monday, right? The 27th, but that's one that is at West Edmonton Mall, open to the public.
Oh, geez.
So I think it's a different type of practice.
So they actually have one practice before they play the Flames.
Well, yeah, but keep in mind, so do the Flames, because the Flames play on the 28th.
Yeah.
And then the Oilers play the Flames on the 29th.
Right, so Flames will be game ready, game going. The Oilers have had I've been through it. So you're talking 7 days off, 8 days off. I know guys will work out, but it's not the same. So I think they really come back, and that game, that practice on the 27th, I assume will be, even though it'll be at West Ham tomorrow, I'm assuming there'll be a lot of movement, a lot of skating, kind of get them going. And I think the Tuesday's got to be a tough practice as well to make sure they're ready for a physical game on the 29th.
Oh, no, Dave Tippett talked about it. He feels that's going to be one of the most important practices of the year. He's already got his game plan for it. I was talking to him yesterday about it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
He mentioned the 28th because he said, you know what, the 27th, when it's a big crowd and everyone's there, like, he expects that it's a practice, but it's just going to be different than it would be a regular practice. These are his words, not mine. So, he felt like that, you know, it'd be good to study, you know, a lot of motion, you know, getting guys skating. The thing is, though, usually the Monday after the All-Star, the guys like McDavid and Draisaitl, I'm not sure they're even on the ice, because in previous years, Tom, the guys who played in the All-Star game didn't practice on the Monday.
And how about guys that were coming from out of country, like Cam Talbot, wasn't even in town. I mean, obviously, it's a scheduling thing, but you're right, like getting back into town, who knows with the weather and elements and all of that. But I was kind of wondering, too. I mean, I think in this instance here, guys, with the Oilers playing on Saturday in the afternoon, obviously added emphasis on that game against the Coyotes, where the Coyotes sit in the standings, where the Oilers sit in the standings. And then the one thing I've noticed as this whole Flames-Oilers thing has spilled into this week is I really do think that the Oilers as a whole have kind of handled all the outside noise better than the Flames have, listening to what the Flames are talking about. I know that the Flames are in Toronto and they're stuck in the biggest hockey mecca in the country in terms of media, but like Milan Lucic yesterday admitted that in that game against Montreal that they dropped, that Oilers game was affecting them. And to me, just from the outside looking in, it seems like the Oilers have handled this whole scenario a little bit better. And maybe the fact that they only had the one game against the Preds on Tuesday adds into that. But that's how I've kind of viewed this whole week as it's played out.
Breaking down the world of the NHL and sports with Tom Gazzola. He's the pre- and post-game show host here in Edmonton.
Tom, I think, are they struggling more? Because, in Strutty, you can answer this. You're defending a guy who got pummeled, who people look at who didn't stand up for himself in borderline hits, where the orders are just like, hey, you know what? Our guy took it into his own hands, and there's nothing else to say. Right? Like, I think it's probably an easier thing to discuss for the orders, no?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, Strutty, you probably could speak to that better, but overall, like, it even creeped into the pregame morning skate press conference today with Tkachuk. He finally spoke, and it creates even more noise. I know it's kind of tampered it down a bit, but it's like we're into Thursday here, guys. The game was almost a week ago, and it's still an ongoing thing. But Strutty, as a player, like, you could probably observe it and give a unique perspective on that as opposed to our media perspective.
No, I think you guys nailed it. I think that when you look at it, you know, what happened for Kasten, he dealt it in his way, and he just kind of moved on as a team. You're like, yeah, our guy handled it by what I think would be the traditional way of doing things. Whereas on the other side, maybe the Flames feel they need to defend it more than anything. And I'm interested to see what the Flames do tonight. They're in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I think this has been a bit of a distraction for them. For the Oilers, you know, they've been playing well, and I think they got to get themselves organized for that game Saturday. And when they get back, I think we'll have a lot more hype about it. You know, there's going to be, 10 days between now and then to calm things down. But I am very interested to see how they respond tonight, because Calgary needs points just as much as the Oilers. Calgary's points. Now, Tom, I want to get to something. Greg's, you know, this is something you've been banging around for a little while. Drager on their insider trading talked about the Oilers looking for a top six forward, something you've mentioned, Greg's.
Oh!
And so now that Drager says that, I actually am on board with it.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. But three of the names he mentioned were out of Toronto. And it was Kerfoot, Kapanen, and Andreas Johansson. So
yeah, well, Kerfoot's not a top six. Let me say that.
Okay, well, let's assume that these are the three guys. Is there any way that this isn't a roster D coming off the Oilers to get one of these three guys?
Well, the Oilers have, I mean, the Caleb Jones thing, getting him locked up for a couple more years. That's a good thing, but it's not like they committed big money to him and gave him that vote of confidence, saying you're definitely one of our guys moving forward here. But it makes sense, Strutty. And the one guy that Dregs brought up, and I know that top six forward is something that's been discussed on this show with Gregor, obviously. But the one guy out of those three that were brought up that's intrigued me ever since he's kind of made a name for himself in the league is Andreas Johansson. Mm-hmm. Like, I really like it. I think the potential is there. I know he's 25 years old. All of those guys are in the just over $3 million to 3.5 range, which could probably be workable for Kenny Holland. But I like Andreas Johansson out of those three the most. Obviously, Kapanen has some high upside as well, but I've liked Johansson. He's pretty smooth. He's solid. He's a Swede. That would be my go-to if I was a GM.
But is there any way, like, I think that's a good choice. But I mean, they need D-men. They need NHL D-men. And I think that guy, it has to be like a legit, it has to be one of the top four D off the Oilers. I don't see how else this can get done.
In that case, then, would you play with the idea of flipping an Adam Larson who makes just over $4 million?
Not for a wing. First of all, like, Johansson, you like them, but if I'm making that trade, it's in the offseason. I don't think Edmonton can afford now to trade a top four defenseman when their biggest problem is still defending and goals against.
Right.
Like, they need a top six forward. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not, if I'm getting one, you try to do a rental for something off your roster. But to deplete your top four defense to do it, I think would be a horrific deal.
Yeah. See, that's kind of where my head's at. So, I mean, I guess, you know, to follow up my own questions, I don't see how this can be. The Leafs, they don't need futures. They need NHL roster D men now. And with all due respect to all the other players in the Oilers organization, as far as D, none of them are NHL ready right now to stop in and play a top four. So I think that that's the only way I think that trade gets made. You know, Toronto needs a top four defenseman.
Right. That's why it's almost a hypothetical. It's like, would you be willing to sacrifice? And Greg, you make a great point in regard to that. Unless you can somehow convince Kyle Dubas to take a younger guy that would be a work in progress. But I don't think that's something that they have an appetite for if they're trying to make a run for the postseason right now and stay in that window of winning that they believe that they're in. So that's that's a tough one. But if, I don't know, like if Ken Holland can make that magic work, then so be it. Good on him. But that's, Strutty, you nailed it. That's tough. Greg's, you nailed it. Like, I'm not coughing up anything in regard to top four.
Yeah, I wouldn't, I would be very surprised if Ken Holland made that type of trade now, right? You know, in the offseason, you know, maybe you look at it, you feel like, okay, Bears got more experience, Jones has had more experience, whatever else other options are going to do, and I could consider it, but I don't see them doing it now. I would be, that would be odd, unless they've got that trade and then they've got another one that they're going to swing right after to get a rental defenseman who's a top four, but that's going to cost you something as well, right?
Exactly. No, so. Exactly.
That, you know, people are saying, what if it's Chris Russell? Now, if it's Chris Russell, maybe, because it's not your top four.
Right.
Because, and that alleviates some money. So there I would think about it if it's Chris Russell, but you're going to have to probably add for sure if it's Chris Russell, because Toronto's taking on some salary, right?
Exactly.
So that's
exactly. That's why I didn't bring his name up.
Yeah. Like I don't think you're doing it straight up for Chris Russell. I'd be surprised by that. But here's the thing. Everybody knows Toronto needs defensemen, and we've seen trades that don't seem plausible that happen.
Fair enough.
Right. We've seen them when you're kind of like, what? That just happened, and not always in Edmonton. There's been a lot with the Oilers for sure, but there's been other ones where you're kind of like, wow, that's what they gave up. So you never know when a team's desperate, right? Because I think Toronto, there's some pressure on that organization to, like, it's going to be very difficult for them, I believe, to get home ice advantage, because they're going to catch Boston, who they're quite far behind, and then they got to battle Tampa Bay, who's found the gear. So now you're going to start on the road, let's say if they finish third, and you got to start on the road. And then if you win one series, you got to be on the other one. Like, it's just a tough situation for them. So I think there's some pressure in there to want to get some defensemen. But it's hard because, like, the thing that's intriguing about Larson is at least has a year left in his contract. Like, look at all their defense guys in Toronto that are expiring contracts. Like, that's why all these people that have been saying for years, oh, look at Oilers should have done what Toronto did. I'm like, I don't see that at all. As Toronto being, do they have skill? 100%. Have they been good in the regular season? 100%. But they've yet to improve their defense, and arguably it's getting worse because they just lost Gardner. Now, like, what's going to happen with Barry, right? What's going to happen with other guys? So I really don't think that they've figured out that you still have to play defense to win in today's NHL.
Well, they're extending Marty Marincin, right? Like, that's where we're at with the Leafs and their defense.
No.
Tommy, we will chat with you tomorrow. Have a good one. Stay warm.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.